if you think about it, how do you explain that to mom and dad? You're ready to be married and you pop up pregnant. And you're showing and you're, you know. How do you explain that? And then not to mention the town talking about it. Oh, man. Look at Mary. Yeah, man, she didn't waste no time. She's not even married yet. We're trying to get ready to get some wine together for her little ceremony. And guess what? She's already walking around with child. Verse 35. What does verse 35 say? Verse 35, the angel answers Mary's question because she is really puzzled about this. The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for this reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. This is great news because now we get to see again the work of the Holy Spirit, meaning that the Holy Spirit is not an it. Stop calling the Holy Spirit it. People that are in churches that feel like they can catch the Holy Spirit, like we talked about before, like going fishing. I was minding my own business and I was listening to music. Oh my gosh, man, the praise team was so awesome. And I just caught the Holy Spirit. Wrong. You got heightened in your emotions. Okay? I felt it, LaJuan. You know what? Guess what? If I drink 2 gallons of water in an hour and about 15 minutes after that hour, I'm going to feel something too. Doesn't necessarily mean that it is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a he. It is not an it. The Holy Spirit has creation power, just like the Son, just like the Father. And we see it right here. The Holy Spirit will come over Mary and will put the womb inside of the baby inside of her womb. That is divine, an amazing work, something that is impossible and is different. Verse 36, and behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her 6th month. The difference between Elizabeth is Elizabeth had a baby the natural way. Mary is having a child that's not natural. But he is showing here 2 miracles that have taken place. 2 miracles that have taken place. For those of you that were here last week with Martha, you remember? Now, what would happen if Martha's daughter came up to you guys and said, hey, Martha's with child? Half of the people will faint. The other half will say, what's really going on? Right? That's really something. It's the same thing, I like to think. Not saying that Elizabeth, I don't know, we don't know how old she was. But the Bible emphasizes her old age. Zechariah emphasizes their old age. They are older. They are beyond the childbearing age group. And not only did Gabriel say, the Holy Spirit is going to put that child inside of you, but guess what? Your relative in her old age has conceived and has and is going to have a son. And she's been always known as being barren. Now she is not. Now she is in her 6th month of about to have a baby. In 4 more months, she's going to have a child. In this case, we get a chance to see a level of comfort because Mary realizes that she is not alone in this. God used the beautiful, beautiful art of what he created in a woman to create life. And once again, he is showing his beautiful work in creating the life that we will forever be searching after, our Lord Jesus Christ. And it came through a woman, not through a bunch of greaseball old guys that think they know everything, but with a woman. And the one that's going to prepare the way of the Lord is coming through a woman, Elizabeth, bringing John the Baptist into this world. Mary is not alone. We get a chance to see miracle upon miracle. if there's anyone in the world of womandom that would understand Mary's situation right now, it would be Elizabeth. Because Elizabeth has got a chance to experience the impossible, just like Mary. Verse 37 should be obvious, but we're going to praise God for it. Verse 37, what does the angel say? For nothing will be impossible with God. Yes. Because this is impossible. A barren woman that's been always known as being barren, just been faithful, living her life, probably not even thinking about having children. Maybe she stopped praying 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. She stopped praying for having children. She's known as barren. She's going to go to her grave being barren. She's not going to have anything to leave beyond once she leaves this earth. And guess what? She's pregnant with child. 6 months pregnant. Mary thinking about how I'm going to be an okay wife. Am I sure this is what I want to do? Did my mother give me all the instructions needed to be able to do the right thing? Does Joseph really even like me? I don't know what's going on. Boom. She gets something that's impossible. You are going to bear a child. You are going to bear a son, and he is going to be Jesus, and he is going to be great. He is going to be the Son of the living God. What an interesting story. What an interesting revelation. This could be viewed as a burden. Don't you see? A young woman who probably doesn't even know herself fully yet is about to give birth to the King of Kings. Am I ready for this? Am I prepared for this? But the angel tells her, nothing is impossible for God. I will give you. You're going to get this. You're going to have this child. Your relative is going to have this child. Nothing is impossible for him. The illness in which you are facing right now in your life, nothing is impossible for God. The diagnosis, nothing is impossible for God. And what does Mary say? Verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the bond slave or bond servant of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Mary never questioned it. She said, I am the Lord's servant. Let it be. Even though she probably didn't fully understand. In fact, we know in later on in the Gospel of Luke, there's a lot of things that she just does not understand. She doesn't get it. She keeps it stored up in her heart. That's what the scripture says. But she said, I am the Lord's servant. I am the bond servant. I am the bond slave. She didn't doubt it, but she accepted it. Have we done that? Our situations are not the same as bringing life into the world. Sometimes it doesn't make sense to us. And I don't think it made sense to Mary. She could have asked the question, why me? She could have probably went back to her room somewhere and cried. This experience was a lot. She's trying to get ready to be a wife, and now she has to get ready to be a mother. Is she ready for this? The things that are going to capture her heart for her baby boy. The things that she's going to get to experience and witness with her baby boy. Mary is special in the scriptures because she gave birth to our Savior. But that's it. That's it. The last time we hear about Mary again is in the book of Acts. We don't have a gospel according to Mary, the Virgin Mary. Mary was only a virgin until after she gave birth to Jesus. Then her husband knew her. She wasn't a virgin. She wasn't a virgin all her whole life. We call her the Virgin Mary, but she was not a virgin after she had Jesus. I want to make sure that's clear. She had other children. We went over the book of Jude, who is the brother of Jesus. Which means Mary had to have other children. One of the things that's very special here is that, number one, we get to see in this part of Scripture that now God, we see God executing on his promises. In Genesis chapter 3, when we mentioned this last time, when Jesus told the serpent that that seed that's coming from the woman, that you're going to, he's going to crush your head and you're going to bruise his heel. We're talking about Jesus. We're seeing now the prophecy starting to take place. That the promise that God gave to his people, that there will be salvation, there will be one that will save, there will be one that is going to execute all of the laws. We had a great discussion last week about Joseph and about his behavior. And the only way that I can rationalize the legitimate discussions is to say every man in the Bible, except one, are full of sin and error. There is not a person in the Bible from Genesis on that is not without error, that is not without sin, that is not out looking out for their best interests, that are not selfish, and probably not evil. Jesus is the only one that is perfect. He is the only prototype of human example that we should practice. We don't want to practice David, do we? No. We don't want to practice Abraham, do we? No. Yeah, the Bible does speak about their faith, but their actions are something that was really something right there. We don't want to practice those people. Problem is, when we do that, we don't want to practice Moses, do we? No. Moses? You want to practice Moses? We don't want to practice Moses. He was a murderer. He was a murderer. And he stuttered. You know what it feels like? I mean, no disrespect to people. You imagine Moses couldn't talk. He told Jesus, I can't speak. He told God that. He was a stuttering problem. A stuttering murderer. Mom, stop laughing. It's true. It's true. It's in Scripture. Aaron built a golden calf. These guys are, the Bible is full of men with error. You saw Paul. You want to talk about Paul? Paul was an ancient Hitler. If you really want to think about it. He probably didn't throw the stone that had Stephen killed, but he sure did hold the robes of those who did it. We get to go through the Scriptures and see fallen men, just like me, just like you, but God's grace. And if it wasn't for the birth of our Savior, for him going on that cross, dying and raising again, then we would have no hope. That's why this is important. We get a chance to see that God is still in love with humanity. And we get to see that in this text of Scripture right here. We are seeing that he is going to take a young little girl and put a baby inside of her that is going to save all humanity if you choose to accept him. God is presenting life and death, blessing and cursing. I urge you, just like the Scriptures do, choose life. And life is only through Jesus Christ alone. And he is the one. He is the only one that can save you. Not the fact that your family member is a praying warrior and she's going to pray you in. Not the fact that, you know what, I pray to St. Peter and he's going to pray for me on my behalf. That's not biblical. And it's actually anti-Bible. Same with Mary. There's only one person that intercedes for you when you pray. Does anyone want to guess who it is? Well, let's go a little further. Who intercedes for you and pray? Romans, the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that overshadowed Mary and put the baby into her. I think I'm catching the Holy Spirit right now. I'm so excited. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the Spirit that intercedes for you when you pray. Because we don't pray as we ought. Not to get into this sermon, but I'll just say this. If you're in a courtroom, for those of you that have ever been in court, you watch the court show, not the court show, they don't have lawyers. You have a court situation, you have the defendant, you have the plaintiff, whatever. The person that's in the court case, the judge is sitting right there, and the lawyer speaks for the person. He speaks for the person. Right? Y'all with me? Okay. Very often, very hardly ever do they have the person on trial speak for themselves. The lawyer speaks for them, because guess what? The lawyer has the legal tango to talk to the judge in a way to make it sound good. Right? You understand? He has the legal skill to talk to the lawyer or to the judge. When we pray, when we get on our knees and we pray, our prayer is full of sin. Our prayer is full of frustration. It's full of arrogance. It's self-centeredness. It's no different than someone saying, I'm going to write a paper and give it to me, and I'm going to edit the paper. Make it sound academic. Make it sound great. When we pray, when we go before the Lord in prayer, our prayer is full of sin and error. The Lord knows our minds and our hearts. So when our prayer is coming up, the Holy Spirit said, wait a minute. I'm going to take that prayer and I'm going to make it perfect before God. I'm going to filter out all the mess and give and present the perfect prayer to the God the Father. That's what it means in Romans when it says that he intercedes for us because we don't know how to pray as we should. That's what it means. The Holy Spirit is filtering out our human sin and presenting us a perfect prayer. Mary doesn't do that. Saint Nicholas, is there Saint Nicholas? That's Saint whoever, they don't do that. Moses don't do that. The Holy Spirit does it. Forgive me, y'all. I just gave y'all a 5-minute sermon that was supposed to be a part of this. That wasn't supposed to be a part of this sermon. That was supposed to be my Romans sermon plan. But y'all gonna have to hear it again later, because I really love that. That really is comforting to me about knowing that God prays for us. The Holy Spirit prays for us. But just keep that in mind. We have to celebrate the fact that we have a Savior, and this is how He came. He came to regular people, and now we're about to see some extraordinary things.